Along about my age, 10 or 12, we began to get into a depression. In 1929, the stock markets crashed, and people had a lot of responsibility and not much wherewithal. They didn't have the money to pay their bills, they didn't have money to put food on the table. And families started turning boys out. Just say, son, I can't support you anymore. Go out and find anything you can do. Work on a farm for your keep. But I can't support you anymore here. I've got more kids than I can feed. So, starting with the oldest, they would put them out of the homes, some of them. Fortunately, I was not put out of home. But things got to the point where my mother had to have the gas turned off to get the deposit back from the gas company to live on. She had the electricity turned off for the same reason. She was not able to pay taxes, and we were beginning to worry about our property, our homestead, being sold for back taxes. We didn't know all of the facts about things like that. But it was quite a worry. And we made do as best we could. I had a paper route that paid me about $6 to $8 a month delivering papers twice a day. And then I distributed handbills. And that brought in another 90 cents a week distributing grocery special handbills. Then I got a job with a dairy company as a hop boy on a horse-drawn milk wagon, running up, putting the bottles of milk on the front porch, picking up the empty bottles. And I did that for a few months until the next call-up came along for a Civilian Conservation Corps, and I had turned 17. And I went in there. And I guess the main attraction was that there were going to be 3 meals a day. I had lodging at home, but I didn't know for how long with the way things seemed to be threatening. But I got in that CC camp, and there was a group about like us here now. And at noon, they had us just sit down under a shade tree. And they came around and passed out sack lunches in a brown bag. Well, there's one old boy in the bunch who had been in before. He was a veteran. He knew all about it. And he opened up his sack and he said, "Wham, bam, blankety, blank, blank, blow, same old lousy chow." I looked in my bag and I thought, if he don't want his, I'll help him eat it. It was 3 sandwiches on fresh light bread. If I ate light bread before that, for years it had been day-old bread from the bakery. Well, it was a cheese sandwich, an apple butter sandwich, and a bologna sandwich. And some of the guys would swap, but then there was a piece of fruit as well, orange, apple, or banana. And to me, that was a banquet. And then in the evening, we went in and sat down to a table to a hot meal. Good food. Good tasting food. Not just good for us. And I think in about the first 6 months I was in there, I gained about 12 pounds. And I had been sort of a weakling. I wasn't big enough to really do any good on the football field. And so I was scorned by the coach. I was trash. He didn't have any use for me. And I just felt kind of put out. Little self-esteem, but it began to come to me. In this Civilian Conservation Corps. There were other guys in the same boat I was in, and we had the same things to talk about. what it was like at home. And like one old boy said, my old man yanked me out of school in the third grade. He said that's as far as he got, and he wasn't going to have no kid smarter than he was. That old boy was pulled out of school in the third grade and put to work on the farm. But he got into the CC camp and went back to school there. We had classes after the evening meal. Well, we had school classes. We were able to add to our high school credits. And the grades went in to the county school superintendent, and it was in our records. Those good meals, everything going on schedule, and going to night school, and I got on an engineering crew, and I wanted to learn to be a civil engineer. And that was going just fine. Until one guy, because of my hometown and his hometown, he just could not tolerate me, and he just rode me, and he was my superior. He rode me until I had enough of that, and I said, well, I'm not going to put up with that to learn to be an engineer. So the next time they called me to go out on the engineering crew, they said, Mac, you ready? You want to go with us? I said, no, I'll just stay with my old crew. And I went back to where I got my PhD, post-hole digging. We built miles and miles of fences. And we converted worn-out cultivated land back into pasture land. And we would fence off that worn-out land and plant Bermuda grass sod, buffalo grass sod, and if there were gullies washed in it, we sloped the banks on those gullies where the grass would stand and grow and built back. And they set gauges in those gullies, and over the years they could go back and tell how much soil had been gained in those from the work we had done, including some spillways, some concrete spillways that were built. So we could go back and look at our work, and you could see what we had accomplished. Look at all of those fences, miles of fences over around Bartlett in a 50-mile radius that were built by CCC boys, culverts that were built by us, and we built cattle guards and water gates, not the kind that Richard Nixon got involved in, but these were a wire fence built across a small stream with logs hanging on the bottom of it that was free to swing. And as the water rose coming down this way, these logs would just float and let the water go under. And then they'd come back down as the water receded. Of course, the farmer or the owner of the property might have to go out and clear some brush out that had gotten caught in that. Those are things that we learned to do, learned to work with other guys, including we learned to use hammer and nails and saw. And be on schedule, obey orders, and accomplish something together. One boy that I dug post holes with in solid rock, we had a bar almost as long as this cane with a chisel point on it. And we'd set that in this rock, one man holding it here, and this other one swinging a sledgehammer, 12-pound sledgehammer. You had to trust your buddy. And he'd swing a while, and then I'd swing a while. No, take turns holding the chisel. And as we chiseled around the edges and chipped that out and dipped the rock out of it, the hole went deeper and deeper until you could put a post, fence post in it. And then we had all these chips of rock to tamp back in around it to hold that post in place. Then we stretched the wire and nailed it to the posts. And we had a lot of good fences. Some of them are still standing over there around Barclay.
Do you go back and visit some of your old work these days?
Yeah. When I go over to Bartlett to the reunion over there for the boys that were in that camp, We drive some of those country roads around there, and I can recognize the fence that we built by the braces on it. And that, I pat myself with. I had a hand in that. But some of what it did for my mother, I kept $8 a month. Now, a lot of the boys kept five and sent 25 home. And I kept eight, and my mother said, no, you keep eight and just send me 22. That'll be enough. Well, $22 did go a long ways in those days. And for instance, my $8, I had a pretty good time. I could go downtown. First, I could buy a ticket at the Camp PX for the movie downtown for a dime. I could go downtown and see the movie. After the movie, I could buy a good hamburger for a nickel, and I could buy a flake crust fried pie full of fruit for another nickel, and a pint of milk for another nickel for a quarter. I'd had the movie, the hamburger, and a pint of milk. If you had a half dollar, you could take a date. And we were pretty popular among the girls. Some of the girls were around Bartlett, and unpopular with some of the boys. But I did not marry a Bartlett girl. Some of the guys did. But I married the sister of another CCC boy. And we've been married for 60, be 61 years this year.
Other than your brother, brother-in-law, do you have any contact with any of the former fellows that you worked with?
In Bartlett? Yeah, they have an annual reunion in Bartlett, and I was there at the last one and visited with them there. And if we don't recognize, well, we remind each other who we are. And, well, I don't look so good anymore. My eyes are getting weak, but I have to ask some of them to tell me who they are. And my mind's getting weak. I can't remember. You can tell me your name, and I'll call you by his, because you both have grown green shirts, it looks like. But I get along. People are patient with me. Well, that 85-year-old man, he's to be excused. Well, I may take advantage of that a little bit. But anyhow, I got straight off the course there. We were talking about how far the money would go. My mother lived off that $22 a month that went home to her, and she got the gas turned back on. She got the electricity turned back on. She paid the back taxes. She had the house painted and some of the rooms papered. And she started renting out rooms overnight to people traveling through Round Rock. And she was right across the street from one motel and just down the street from another motel. And if they were full, they'd say you might get a room up at Ms. McDonald's house. And she had a sign, a board that just said, simply said rooms. And she turned the front porch light on and hang that sign out on the front wall, out there on the front porch. So she made a little money that way. And by the time I came out 18 months later, she was making more money than I was sending, than the $22 I was sending home. And I went to work. When I came out of the CC camp, I went to work in for a neon sign company. And I learned to build the canisters, the sheet metal canister for the sign, and do the angle iron framework for the sign. I did the mechanical parts of it, but I did not blow the glass, and I did not do the lettering. I primed some of the signs, and sometimes I did the striping, the bordering on the letters, and on the margin of the sign, something like that. but I was not an actual sign painter. I was not a glass blower, but the rest of it I did. I could build the canister, connect the neon tubing, haul it out, and install the sign. And what do you think was my first job, the first day on the job, they started me to do?
Building a sign for your mom.
Dig a post hole. He said, now you told me you dug a lot of post holes in the CC camp. And I said, yeah. He said, well, I've got one that might stump you. He said, I've had a couple of other boys that gave up. And he says, you get what you need to dig in solid rock. So I got a short bar like this with a chisel on the end of it. And the drop augers. And I went out there, and I just slant that bar in the hole and lean it against the bank on the opposite side like this and go around and around and wallow it out. And I chipped it out. He said, now, you go out. Well, he went out with me. He said, now, you stay here until whatever time you want to quit this evening. And then you can come back in. You can come back out tomorrow and work on it some more. So, in about 2 hours or three, I was back in the shop. You give up? I said, no, I didn't give up. I finished it. You finished that hole in solid rock? No, no way. I said, it's finished. He said, 5 feet deep? Yeah, 5 feet deep. 16 inches in diameter? 16 inches in diameter. He said, I've got to see it. Get in the truck. Let's go. We drove back out there. He got out of the truck and he started unfolding his rule as he walked up to it. He punched it down in there and said, well, it's 5 feet, all right. Then he bent it and measured the diameter and measured the diameter at the bottom. He said, in 16-inch diameter. Well, I'll be damned. So I knew I had a job digging post holes anyhow. And I worked at that for a while, and then I got an offer to go back to work for that same milk company that I had been a hop boy back when I was 16 and 17 years old as a milk routeman, route salesman. So I held that job 2 years, and Uncle Sam says, I want you. But I was a draft dodger. I enlisted to keep from being drafted. I enlisted in the Navy. I spent 3 years in the Navy, all in the Pacific, and most of it in the Southwest Pacific in the Coral Sea area. If you've ever in history and read anything about the naval battles, well, I was out there for 18 months in the Coral Sea area. And we set up a naval advance base and operated it until I was transferred back to the States on R&R, and I was home and checking out the scene, and I went into a little coffee shop, a cute little waitress there behind the counter, and then there was a crash out front. There was a wreck. And I went out to the scene of the wreck to look around, and here came another pretty little face right up in mine and said, hey, I know you. You're Billy McDonald. And I'm Beulah Beth Warren. Well, 12 days later, we were married. And this coming October the 23rd, we will be married 61 years. I came out of the service. I qualified for college on the GI Bill of Rights by going to school in the CC camps. I took some courses in the Navy and went to two firefighting schools in the Navy. So I wound up finally as a firefighter for the Austin Fire Department. I went to work in the fire department in 1952 and worked for 30 years. Was discharged, retired from the fire department as a lieutenant. Now, there were guys all along in my lifetime, some who were a lot smarter than myself, some who were not as smart as myself, but nearly all of them were much better off for the time they spent in the CCC camp. And so was their community. They set good examples. They had good working habits. And those 90% of us went into the armed forces in World War II. The other 10%, most of them took jobs in shipyards as welders, electricians, and jobs like that. Some of them, skills they had learned in the CCC camp. We had shops in the camp, and we had woodworking, we had mechanics, we had blacksmith shop, and so there were things that a guy could learn in there. And people ask me, why would you go back in if they had it today? And I said, if they'd let me, I would. I don't feel that I need it anymore. And when I came out, I thought I could make it outside of the CC camp. But I still had 6 months of eligibility left to fall back on and go back in. And they told me later that I was up for promotion and could have stayed on. I wouldn't have had to go out at the end of that 6 months even. But I was doing all right with that sign company, and then with the milk company, and then in the Navy. I went into the Navy as a recruit seaman. I came out of the Navy 3 years later as a first-class petty officer. And I think that each thing set me up for the next step. The CC camp set me up for the Navy. The Navy set me up. The two firefighting schools I went to in the Navy helped me in the fire department then. And one thing just led to another. So if you're feeling kind of behind or discouraged, just think about it and figure out, how can I do this, make it work better, or what can I do to make my own plight better? And I hope every one of you comes out much better than I did. You all look smarter than I ever felt like I was. So just keep digging. That's about all I can think of to say. I want to encourage you every chance I get. I'm for you. One challenge I issue, and you may have already heard it, some of you. Prove your worth. Don't ever let people make you think you are worth less than you are. People are still telling me that the Civilian Conservation Corps was a big waste of the taxpayers' money. The money that they paid me in the civilian conservation and my mother and all of that put together, I paid back in 6 months of income tax every year now off my pension. So they're getting their money back. Every life that is improved in these things is going to pay back. It's the ones that fall through the cracks that keep costing the taxpayer and costing the citizens. They cost everybody. But you guys, all of you, taking responsibility and wanting to better yourselves and your surroundings, they can't take that away from you. You get it up here, even if you crippled or whatever, you develop your minds, you learn to read and comprehend what you read, and you can figure your way out of a hole. There's an old saying goes that when you find out that you're in the hole and you're getting desperate, stop digging and start climbing. Any questions?
Yeah. You're a native Texan?
Yes. I was born in Round Rock, Texas, right, just about 18 miles north of Austin. At the time I was born, they called it 20 miles north of Austin. Then they called it 18 miles north of Austin. And later on, from my home in Austin to where I was born in Round Rock was 15 miles. So you see how things grow, how things happen. Now, Austin city limits and Round Rock city limits join. Round Rock and Pflugerville city limits join. Round Rock and Hutto city limits join. Round Rock and Georgetown. Round Rock is hidebound. It can't go anywhere now because then it's Cedar Park and Leander. And so Round Rock is bound.
Mr. McDonald, I have a question for you. You mentioned how your service led to something great mm-hmm. for you. And I wonder about some of these moments that you had later in life. What things you might have learned about working with all these other people in these tight cores, where you were in tight quarters, there were a lot of people working mm-hmm. together. It seems like these experiences teach you a lot about people. And I'm curious if those served you later, if you had experiences learned through
that's
this
right.
That helped you.
That's right. Sometimes you're rubbing elbows and shoulders with someone that you really don't like, and you have to tolerate that. But at the same time, that old boy, you don't know what he has working on him. Sometimes there's a burr under his blanket, and he's trying to cope. So in cases like that, I just tried to avoid. And that's why I went from the engineering crew, stopped going with them, and went back to my post hole digging crew. It was because that one guy, there was no getting along with him, and he was my superior. And his superior chewed him out good one day for what he did to me. And he says, "Don't go giving Mac a bad time. You brought it on yourself." So those things sometimes work out for themselves, but someone asked me about fist fights. We did not fist fight because all you had to do was square off and somebody'd yell, "Get the gloves, get the gloves." They put boxing gloves on you, and then you could just fight all you wanted to with those boxing gloves on. But they wouldn't let you fight bare-fisted.
Did not for long. Did you end up being a supervisor at any other point?
In the CC camp?
Later in life.
Oh, yeah. As in the fire department, I was a lieutenant. I had my own fire company, my own truck and my crew.
I wonder if it changed your or had an influence on your leadership, your experience with this.
It could be. And in the Navy, by the time I was in 1 year, I was a third-class petty officer, and then a second class, and then a first class. Yeah, I was supervising. And I never supervised in the CC. Well, yes, I did, too. They put me off with a little branch crew one time. Said, "Mac, we've got a little job over here. I want you to take four men over there with you and finish it out." And so went over there and did that. And that may have been a test to see if I was competent. So whatever the case, they told me later that I was up for a promotion if I had not chosen to resign. And see, we didn't have graduations. We were allowed 2 years. I served 18 months, and I wanted to save that last 6 months. I thought then that that was all I could have. But I learned later you could stay out 6 months and come back in and stay another period of time. But